Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
This is your host for the day, Dr. June Normia. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited and I'm glad that God has given us another opportunity to come together in unity, to come together to hear what he has to say to his people. And I thank God for you being taking your time here today to listen to what God has to say to you. I want you to get your paper, a pencil, a recording, anything you need to retain this good information that God is going to give us today. And I'll be going over a lot of things pertaining to last week also. So just get your friends, get your neighbors, get your families, get together, and listen to the broadcast that God has given us today. And I'm going to go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for allowing us to come together in unity today, God. Thank you, God, for giving us this day, God, to hear what you have to say to your people, God. God, right now, God, those who are in radio land who hear the sound of my voice, God, and you speak to me, God, give me, God, the unction, God, to be led by the Holy Spirit, God, to teach your people, God, and also myself to learn, God, and to apply, God, what you have given us, God, this day by your Holy Spirit. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this is Dr. June Normier, and you listen to the Breakthrough Broadcast this week. This day we are going to continue from our lesson that we done a month ago, and our topic was, and it is to be today also, understanding the call of God. Our topic again is understanding the call of God. And I'm just going to do a little recap of what I talked about the last time on part one. And we're talking about understanding the call of God. And in the first part, we talked about learning what a call is and what a call is pertains to us individually. And we know that we all was called and is called to salvation. We all are called to salvation. No one is exempt, because God called all his people. And in John 3:16, we know that Jesus gave his life for everyone. He had called everyone to be saved. Another thing, in other words, that everybody will not be saved, but it's God's will that everybody will be saved. And who shall believe in the gospel and the Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, shall be saved. So one call we did learn from last broadcast was everybody is called to the call of salvation. But today we're going to be talking about part two of understanding the call of God. And we're going to find out two different areas that we're going to find out that God is calling us to. And it's different. Everybody does not have the same calling. Everybody will not be called to do the same thing as though we was in chapter one, in part one, about the salvation. We're going to be talking about the gifts. We're going to talk about the services, the vocation that God has given us. And we have to know what our calling is, what we're called to do, what part of ministry that God has called us to place us in the body of Christ to fulfill. And everyone has a fulfillment to complete. Everyone have a calling to do. Everyone have a ministry. Everybody have a service to do in God's kingdom. Amen. I'm going to tell you first what a calling is. A calling is simply a sermon. It's just like when you go to court, you get a petition, you get a notation, a sermon, you be to report somewhere. You are called to be show up in court for a certain court day for something that has been taking place. It's the same thing in your life. God has put a mandate on your life. He has given you a summon of something that he has placed in you that you are able to do, that you are capable of doing, to fulfill the kingdom of God, to fulfill what he had caused your purpose for you to do in the kingdom of God. And everybody won't have the same calling, but you have a specific calling that God has called you to do. And it's simpler calling. And what we're going to talk about is your vocation spelled V-O-C-A-T-I-O-N, your vacation, that's your calling. And it comes from a Latin word called vacatio. It means the same thing, like I just said, it means a call, it means a summons to come somewhere. Well, God has given you a summons. He is calling you to do a particular task, to do a particular service in the kingdom of God. And a vocation, it is an occupation to which a person is especially drawn for, which they are suited, which they are trained, and which you are qualified to do. And not simply that, and that means in your calling, God will use you in the secular world as well as the ministry, in the spiritual part as well as the natural part. But a vocation is simply together with your natural gift, what God has given you, to be used in the workplace, could be used in society, either to be used in ministry, to be used in the church, to be used the spiritual way, secular or low spiritual. A vocation is a calling that merges together our mission in life with a mission on earth. So God will call you and give you already a talent, a gift, a training that you already have done, something that he could cause you even to gleam off and mature and sharpen even more, but you'll be able to fulfill what he calls you to do in the kingdom of God. And one thing about a vocation and one thing about your calling, it's not self-chosen. We do not choose our vocation. We are called unto them. God calls us to them. We don't choose what we want to do. And a lot of times, it's going to be, you may be excited about what you are doing. You may be gifted to do a lot of things. You may be talented to do a lot of things. You might be trained to do a lot of things, and you might do it very well. But we do things best when we are doing what God called us to do. Whenever God calls us to do it, that's when we do it best. Amen? Amen. You may understand how to be a shepherd, for example. You may be a shepherd. You may be pastoring, and you may be doing very well. You may be able to minister to the people. You may be able to do it very well. You may be able to meet the needs of the people. And one thing about it, even though you're doing it well and you're doing that good, if that's what not God called you to do, you're missing your calling. You're missing your calling. Not saying that God won't bless in that area. God still will bless in that area because God is simply dependent upon and worrying about and concerned about his people, his people. So if you're a shepherd, you're someone, I'm just using for example, as though a pastor, you're a shepherd, and you minister to your people, and you're doing a very good job of doing that, that's okay. For the sake of the people, God could anoint you, or God will anoint you and bless you to be able to feed his sheep. He'll be able to feed the sheep. He's concerned about the people. Another thing, you may see a person in particular, or you may see people in leadership is doing a job, but they may be living unethically. They may be living a lifestyle. You say, how can they possibly be a minister? How can they possibly be a pastor? How can they be working in ministry in the church doing that? Well, we know for a fact, or you may know for a fact, that that person is a living or holding life, not even the living a life that is pleased. It's unethical to be walking in that position. And you may seem like that, and it may be visible to your sight that God is really steady blessing that area. He blessing that ministry. He blessing that church. And you say, how can that possibly God could bless them like that? And they walking in, you know, in all kind of deceit and malice. You know why? Because God is concerned about his people. And one thing about it, God got to make sure that his people is fed. Even though he has to use a person will be used in that area that is really not supposed to be in that area, but because of the people's sake, God will allow that to take place. And what happens is that individual will have to just give account on their stewardship one day when they get before God, because the gifts and calling come without repentance. So a lot of times, you may see a person doing an action in a certain area or position, and you know they live unethically. You know that they're not living right before God. Not just judging, but by facts. We know a tree by its fruit. But one thing about it, God will deal with that person, and God will, for the sake of the people, for the sake of the sheep, he will cause that person to still be able to minister through them, because God is concerned about the sheep getting fed good food, being nourished to their body, to their spiritual man. So anyway, we just want to make sure that what we call to do, and a lot of time what we do is people, we get in the habit of allowing people to put us in positions and to do certain things. We put ourselves in a lot of positions doing things that what we choose and may want to do because we feel that we could do it good, and we may can do it very well, or a person may feel like you could do it very well in this position. But we have to be very careful. We have to be very mindful, be very spiritual, and go before God to find out, God, is this what you really want me to be doing? Because, like I said earlier, when we're doing what God called us to do, we're in the place and position that God has called us to be in, that's when we are really doing the most for God. When we really do what he really called us to do, because he has a specific anointing, he has a specific place in the kingdom and a special gift and talent, ability, and the anointing he had placed on our lives as individuals at certain places that he wants us to be in. And he don't want us to be in every place at the same time. And could we do that? We can't do that. We can't possibly do that. But trying to do that is almost trying to be omnipresent, trying to take off. And you can't be everywhere at the same time. But we could be in many places if God called us to be there. Amen. And that's what we want to do. Let's look at this here right now at John 1 and 30. Let's look at that, John 1 30, starting from verse number 29. And I'm talking about John the Baptist. And a lot of times, people, like I say, will put us in position. We'll get confused about what position we're supposed to be in. And sometimes out of this being, you know, in our fleshly appetite, we just decide we want to be in this position because it's more comfortable for us. Maybe it may be in the background. Maybe it might be in front and center. But we want to make sure that we are what God called us to be. And John the Baptist, he knew very well his position. He knew very well what his position was, what part he played. Because a lot of times, it could be a lot of times, as an outgoing person, you may think your position with God calling you to do may supposed to be in front of people all the time. But not so. God may want you to use you in the background. Not saying that being in the bank is less important than being in the front. Anywhere God calls you to be, that's an important position. Whether it's in the front, in the back, side, up, down, wherever God calls you to be, that's your position, and that is very important to God. Okay, everything God has given everyone in the position is very important to God. Just look at John, the Gospel of John. We're going to look at chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. And I'm talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was talking to his disciples. And it reads, "The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me come a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." John was talking about Jesus. And before Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist was already called. He was a man of God. He was a prophet. He was called. And John was baptizing people. And they didn't know anything about Jesus, but John had already talked about Jesus. He knew his position. He told them, somebody going to be coming after me, but they preferred to be before me. And then he said, because he was before me, John knew his place in the kingdom. So when John saw Jesus coming, he was telling the disciples, this is the one I was telling y'all about. This is what I was telling y'all about. And so, in other words, John, even though he was before the people, before Jesus came on the scene in the natural, before they saw Jesus, they knew anything about it. John was telling them, John had his own disciples before Jesus had his disciples. And John could have had the big head. John had followers following him. But he told them, no, this is not, I'm not the one. He always pointed him to the one. He said, only thing I'm here to do is to prepare the way. I'm to prepare the way of the one who's coming. So he knew his place was prepared away before Jesus came. He wasn't intimidated by that. He wasn't jealous. It wasn't in a malice. He knew, as long as he was doing what he was called to do, he knew God was well pleased. That's what God called him to do. And when you are in the position, and that's when you know when you're in the place you should be at, when you understand you're in your right calling, when you're doing the vocation, your vocation and your ministry, what God called you to do, when you won't have any jealousy. You won't have any jealousy about nobody doing anything, whether they're in front or whether they're in the back, long as you know when you're doing what God called you to do, because within yourself, within your soul, you'll feel real good about what you're doing because God had already ordained for you to do such a thing. He already ordained for you to do such a thing, so you won't be in the malice, you won't be in the jealousy. That's how I was with John the Baptist. He was glad. He was glad to them. He was telling the people that this is the one right here. It's not me, even though I've been before you. I've been baptizing you. I've been doing all this and that, but this is the one. He knew he was the one to prepare the way for someone. And we have to think about that because a lot of times, even in ministry, you may not be the one to be all to be on the pulpit to preach. You may not be the one to always be the one who teach. You may be just the one to be like an armor bearer. You may be just the one just to come forth and prepare the way to set up the scene before the one who is preferred before you, not saying they did better before you, but in that position. You think about the armor bearer. It is so important. It is so important to any position what God has given you. We have to know ourselves, know within ourselves what God has called us to do, and don't be intimidated, and just keep our mind and our hearts before God in prayer, then you'll know what you're called to do. And that way you won't be intimidated, and that way we won't be able to allow the spirit of competition to come in. And that's where the problem be in the competition will come in when you seem like somebody is doing something more better than you do. If anybody doing anything better than what you're doing, you know what that is, what they're supposed to be doing. Because whatever God has called you to do, no one's going to do anything better than what God called you to do it, because God has given you the anointing. He has given you the ability to do what he's supposed to do. And it may seem like different positions may not seem like it's getting much prestige or seem like it's least important, but it's not. It's not. It's everything is important. You just have to know what God called you to do, and you just have to just do it and keep your eyes off of people. And a lot of times don't allow people to call you, to push you up in a certain position, because that's what happens when we get out of place with God and start listening to what people say. When you start getting in the ear and you see, when you get in the face of God and you stay in the face of God, you won't be able to let people get in your ears and whisper all kind of things to you to cause you, and not you know, just people physically, even the devil, or even what's in your own head. You just don't know what God called you to do, is knowing that it is important, whatever it is. And I'm thinking about even in that Nehemiah, Nehemiah 1 and 11, you talk about Nehemiah. I mean, he was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer to the king. And that was a very important position. And it was very important because what he had to do, he had to taste things before the king, the food, drink things to make sure that he wasn't being able to be poisoned. That's very important. Very important. And the king had to have, you had to be very good credibility to be trustworthy for him to trust you. So it may seem like that wasn't a good position. Even think about people being doorkeepers. They was able to be a doorkeeper in the kingdom of God, in the house of God. It's very important. Everything. We can't allow us not to walk in what God calls us to do by looking at on the outer appearance about what's seen and what's not seen. We just have to know that everything that God has given you to do is important. And another thing that could call us as being people of God and call us to make sure we're in our right calling is to know when God calls you, and to know when we are just going somewhere ourselves to be being sent by somebody else. We have to make sure and know the difference, because there's two type of people. It's two type of people in the calling, in the ministry of vocation and of your calling. And the two type of people are the driven people and the called. It's two types of people, the driven and the called. And it's imperative that you know your place and position in the kingdom of God, because you could very well miss your calling if you don't know that, if you don't know the voice of God, and if you decide to let others will tell you where you need to go, you will miss your calling. That's why it's very important that you know what your call is. Because they think about it. John the Baptist, he knew his calling. He knew his place. He wasn't intimidated. He wasn't jealous. He knew his place. He knew Jesus was before him. He just prepared the way and did what he had to do before Jesus got there. But a lot of times, you had these two types of people. You had the driven people. You had the called people. And a lot of times, the called people is the ones that walk in their calling. Whatever God gave them to do, they don't have to work hard to do it. They don't have to work hard to do it, but they have to stay before God, you know, to stay maintained in there, to be able to maintain, to be able to minister to people, to be able to walk in their calling with the anointing, to be able to hear from God, you know, to be able to be effective when they minister to people when they in their calling. And then you also got the driven people, the people who drive themselves, who try to make things happen. It's things God ain't even called them to do, they try to make things happen. They want to be prestigious. They just look for titles. They just look for a higher reputation. They just want to be known. And they do a lot of things. They go, when you be driven, it causes you to do things that is ungodly. It causes you to be deceptive. It causes you to be unworthy. It causes you to be you can't be trusted. It causes you to do a lot of things when you're driven to do things. It causes you to do things you ain't even supposed to be doing. From day one, it'll cause you to wear yourself out. That's when you're driven to do something. You're driven to something. Because most times, you're driven to do anything, you're driven from your own flesh. You're driven to do your own thing. Even if you're driven to do things, it could be something godly. It could be something that you want to do this God. It could be a good thing, but that ain't what God called you to do. It'll drive you to do things that could cause you to hurt yourself, and it caused you to hurt other people. And then look at some people in the Bible, some of the driven people, some of the called people. And then through this, some of the people you see in the Bible, and you can examine your own self. And we know within our own self what's really going on. If it's of God, if we just doing too much, even if we're driven to do many things that God ain't called us to do, you could be driven to do too many things that we're not called to do. That it could be done, and it'd be suitable, but still, it's not. You won't be giving all your best to what you're supposed to be doing. You'll wear yourself out. You'll wear people out. You'd be frustrated. If things don't work out, we do things and say things that's not pleasing to God. So it's two types of people in the area of the vocation, that's your calling, and your ministry and your service. Is your service where you're going to be serving at? Let's look at Samuel. We'll look at 1 Samuel 8:1-22. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this, but I'm just going to give you the scriptures. 1 Samuel 8:1-22. We'll look at that one. We're talking about somebody driven right now. This is talking about Saul. Saul was Israel's first king. But guess what? Saul was not called by God to be Israel's first king. God was Israel's leader, was their king, father. God was the children of Israel, but God's people. And what God was doing, he'll provide for them. Everything they need, God provided for them. But what happened was the people wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to have a king. So what happened was the people complained. They complained. They attended Samuel. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like everybody else. We want a king like all the other nations have kings. So what happened was that's how Saul came about. God gave Israel a king. He gave them Saul because it was driven by people. His position was not what God wanted to do. Like I said, a lot of times we could go in position, we could do things that God didn't call us to do, but it'd be possible we could go into that. And we know the end of Saul. He started out pretty good, but at the end we seen that it didn't work out well with Saul at the end. It didn't work out well with Saul at the end. For one thing, Saul was driven. It was driven by the people. And people would drive you if you're not sure what your calling is. If you don't know what you're called to do, it's possible that people could drive you in position to do things that God didn't want you to do. And God didn't want you to do. Like I said, God will allow things to happen. He will allow certain things to happen. But we have to deal with the consequences of them happening. Saul was a driven person. He was driven. He was driven by the people because he wasn't called by God to be the king. And we know that being the king, all the nations had kings. But he was driven by the people, and God allowed that to happen. And when you a person that's driven, and possibly, but he was driven by what? Just by unusual, call in the uncontrollable pursuit of expansion. The people wanted to expand. They wanted him to be their king, and they got that, and it didn't end up well for them. So he was driven. We have to be careful about not letting people drive us in certain positions to do certain things that God did not call us to do. And not only just people, even ourselves, don't be driven into things that you know God didn't call you to be in because of whatever reason. Because 9 times out of 10, when we're in that situation, we got a motive that's not pleasing to God. Why you want to be driven to that? Because God don't have people that he drive to that. He calls people there. We walk right into his calling. He already has a way made for us. Amen? So that's what happened to Saul. He was the king. He was driven to be king because the people wanted him to be that. But God didn't want us to be like that. Let's look at another one. We'll look at Matthew 20:21. We're talking about James and John. They were disciples of Jesus. They were two disciples of Jesus. They saw a father was Zebedee. And what happened was the mother, she wanted them to sit on the right and left hand of God in the kingdom. She asked Jesus, she said, you in your kingdom, let my son, each one of my sons sit on the left and the right hand in your kingdom. But that's what not, God, Jesus told them, that's what not, I can't give that. That is not for them. And a lot of times, people not even being in the harm, not even sometimes not even knowing better, people would try to push you because they see they want the best for you. They see the best for you. Even just look at the young, their mother, Jane and John's mother. She wanted her children, you know, to be the best. She didn't care about the rest of the disciples. She says, no, being in the kingdom, being with God and being with Jesus, she wanted her son to be right there with them. And we just have to be careful by not trying to just push people in positions and pushed to the right place, because if it's not set up for them, it's not going to happen. Just like Jesus had to tell them, it's not going to happen. That ain't what God called. Jesus said that ain't his place to give them that for that position. And we have to know it ain't always a high seat ain't always the position to try to take. And it may be. You just have to just be humble about it, because they just know that every seat that God has placed for everyone to sit at is very important, because we are always going to be in the audience of one, and that one person is Jesus, and he sees everything that all of us do. And everything you do, I don't care if you're in the background cleaning the bathroom, your position is so, you're a janitor, you're a housekeeper, have whatever title you want to give it, but you give it any title you want to do, give it. But what's important is your work, and are you doing what God is calling you to do? And I tell you one thing about it, it's not a restroom that I have went in that was clean that I didn't appreciate. I didn't see who done it. I don't know who cleaned the bathroom. I don't know who did the floor. I don't know when to clean the bathroom. I don't know who done it. It's very important, and I thank God for that person, the diligence they did what God called them to do, exactly their position as being a janitor. I didn't see them. They was in the background, but I appreciate going in the bathroom or restroom that was clean. They got clean sinks. The toilet clean. They got soap. They got toilet paper when you want to use. The floor is clean. Amen. So everything is important, everything, and I'm telling you, you be the best at everything God has called you to do. You have to do high, and you try to get the high seat. You think about the time, even the Bible talks about that, where it's to be humble yourself. You don't have to go try to be on the front in the high seat and sit up at the king's table when you're not invited. You're not invited. You're not called to do that. You know, just be humble. In the Bible, use an example when a person went up there to the high seat, and what happened? They were shamed before people when they had to be asked to be escorted to go back, and somebody more honorable than you would be able to be in that position. Then you would leave out feeling embarrassed. That's why if you is in the front seat and you're supposed to be up there, ain't nobody going to ask you to move, because that's where you're supposed to be at. And not saying you know better than anybody who in the back seat, because the people in the back, they just were good in the front, because they're watching the people back in the front. Every position is important. Amen. That is driven. They were driven by the desires of their mother, the disciple James and John, because she wanted them. She wanted them to be in the right hand and left hand of God in the kingdom. Let's look at another one. Now, this one, we're going to look at Mark 10, 17 to 22. 17 through 22. And this one, I'm paraphrasing, this is about the rich young ruler. And what happened was, he, not evidently, he heard about Jesus, and for whatever reason, he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus, so he thought. Many are called, few are chosen. Everybody's called for salvation. We learned that in our first assignment. Everybody's called for salvation. But when it talks about the vocation, they're talking about your ministry, it's a different thing. And it's a reason, like I said, we don't call ourselves into our place where we be at in God. We don't call ourselves in there. Jesus called us. We can't make ourselves go in there. Jesus called us to our position. We're not self-chosen. We can't do ourselves. Our vocation, our calling, we don't choose what we want to do. We don't choose what we want to do. We are calling to them. To talk about the missionary ruler, where he was driven by his flesh. He was driven by his flesh. Because when you're driven by your flesh, you gratify only by accomplishment. And that's what he was doing. He was gratified only by accomplishment. He said, Jesus, he said, I want to follow you. He seen Jesus. Jesus said, okay, you can follow me. Same thing. We want to follow Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. And Jesus told the young man, he said, okay, I want you to keep all my commandments. And he said, okay, I did all that. And a lot of things that we do, we feel like we want to be in this position, we want to do that, we called to do this because we did this or we done that. Look at this young man, he said he kept all the commandments ever since his youth. He's been doing all of that. Jesus said, okay, one thing you lack. He said, well, you know what I want you to do? I want you to steal everything you did. I mean, everything you got, and you sell it and give it to the poor. Get rid of it. All that thing the young man did, keeping all the commandments and everything, but he wasn't willing to give up. He wasn't willing to give up his material things because he was gratified only by his accomplishment. He thought what he did because he kept the Ten Commandments, he thought he was worthy enough to be able to just go follow Jesus. It's not that Jesus was telling him back, telling him you can't follow me, but Jesus was then, he didn't tell him he couldn't follow me. He could have followed Jesus, but he was willing to give up what he had to follow Jesus. He was driven by his flesh. He was driven for his flesh. I don't know what the reason was, the Bible don't say. Maybe because he just wanted to be in that number to say, I was walking with Jesus. But guess what? He found out that he wasn't called to walk with Jesus at that particular time because he really wasn't giving. He was giving himself. He called himself to walk upon Jesus right then. Not saying he wasn't called to salvation. He was able. He probably was already saved. But one thing about it, but he wasn't ready to walk the whole walk with Jesus. He wasn't ready to give it up. So Jesus was showing him within himself, be you with me because you thought you wanted to be with me, but you're not with me all the way. And all the time, he was driven. He was a driven person, gratified only by his accomplishment. And we think because of things we do, that we really want to be in this place, we really want to please God. But what are we willing to give up to really please God? Are we willing to give up being in the front to be in the back? Are we willing to give up that front seat and sit in the back seat? Are we willing to say one day, okay, this Sunday, I don't want you to sit on the pulpit. This Sunday, I want you to work in the nursery. Are you willing to do that? That same thing is this metaphor for the rich young ruler. Jesus was asking him. Same thing it could be asked of you or myself. Are you willing to stop to take the back seat to the front? Are you willing not to preach this Sunday, but can you work in the janitor? Can you clean the bathroom? Same thing. He was driven by his accomplishment, and that's what happened to him. He wasn't able to do it. So we have to see ourselves and know what God is calling us to do. And that's some of the driven things. We're driven by the lust of our flesh. And you sometimes, that when God calls us, it's not always a bad thing. Sometimes we really don't know. And if you think about Eli, when Eli, God was calling Samuel. I'm calling Eli. And Eli, he didn't know. Samuel didn't know because he was a child. He didn't know. He even heard about God. He didn't know exactly. God was calling because he hadn't heard about God then. But God was calling Samuel. And then so he kept telling Eli, did you call me? Eli said, no, I didn't call you. He told him. He said, no. He said, if you hear that voice again, the third time, he said, that's God. You say, speak, Lord. And a lot of times you may not know what your call is. You may not be quite sure it is, but God will have people, your leaders, or someone to speak in your life and could tell you on what you call to do. Because God will give them, he will give them that insight. He will show them, and he will tell them that your pastor or your leader or someone, your mother or your father, it could be in the home of the, they will see what you call to do. They will see your gifting. And the same thing, that's in 1 Samuel 3:1. When God called Samuel. Samuel didn't know the voice of God. He was a baby. He was a little boy. He didn't know it. He didn't know that the voice of God yet. But Eli was able to tell him what he called to do. And so if you're not sure about what you're called to do, your leader could tell you until you get sure about it. And God will have someone else could tell you what you're called to do. They could give you kind of insight what they think your calling is for you to be able to walk in your calling because it's very important. It's very important. And then you talk about being able to call, being called and being driven. We talked about some of the driven, but even being called sometimes is it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Saying it can't be done because we human, and sometimes we just don't see the way God's seeing it, and sometimes we think it's just impossible. I know God can't be calling me to go out and preach before nations. I know God ain't calling me to lead people out in the wilderness. We talk about different people, the calling, and we talk about the driven, and we even just look at Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 1:5, we talk about the prophet Jeremiah. He said, the scripture say, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thee came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Jeremiah was a little young man when God called him. He told him, I want you going to be a prophet. You speak for a nation. Jeremiah didn't see himself able to do that. He said, because I'm a child. He said, I'm a child. I can't do that. But he came from strange places. He carried some unique qualifications. He didn't even see himself. But God said, before you were born in your mother's belly, I knew you. And the same thing with God is saying about yourself. He's saying about everybody, all the believers. He knew you before you were even born. He know what he called you to do. And he may have someone speaking to your life or tell you, and he may tell you through a dream, may tell you verbally through somebody that you called to be a pastor, that you called to be a teacher, that you called to be a cook, called to be anything. And you might not see yourself. You don't see yourself in that area saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. And God will call you to do that. Sometimes God will call you out of strange places, but you carry some strange, I mean, some unique qualifications. You don't see yourself doing it, but you got some unique qualifications God has given you to be able to do those things, even though you said you just a child. And we talked about John the Baptist. He was humble. He knew exactly who he was. He was not intimidated. A lot of times God may call you to, don't be intimidated by what God called you to be, but you only blowing a person up. The Bible says get honor to where honor is due. Everybody to do is do honor in their called position. I don't care what you're doing, where you are called to be given honor. The Bible says get honor to where honor is due. And it don't have to be, we just have to get out that mindset that everything that God has given you to do is very important. You just can't, you know, allow and think of that you're not qualified to do it, and God didn't call you to do it because you don't see yourself being able to do it. And John the Baptist, he knew himself. He was intimidated. Even Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer. He did what he had to do. And you got a lot of things. You have to give up a lot of time sometimes, and you don't understand. You may have to give up a lot of things to walk in your calling, and it may not seem so easy. And think about like the rich young ruler. He didn't want to give up his riches. He didn't want to give up his riches. God, Jesus didn't say you can't follow me. He just told him, he said, just say what you got, then come follow me. He wasn't able to let loose that. God wasn't rejecting him. He rejected the walk in God, the walk with God, because he was driven to God because he had the wrong motive. He was gratified by his accomplishment. He was talking about what all he done, but he wasn't able to talk about what he wasn't willing to do, and that was to sell everything. And you talk about Samuel called David. You talk about David, and he had all his brothers trying. He was the second king in Israel because after Saul was dethroned because Samuel was what? He was driven. I mean, not Samuel, Saul was driven, but what? David was called. He was the second king. And you think about Jonah. God called Jonah. What? Jonah was a prophet. He was a preacher. But guess what? He was disobedient. He was disobedient. God would call you. He was a preacher, and God called him, and he wanted him to do something that you would think every preacher may want to do. And what is that? To go and preach the word of God, to declare the words of the Lord, and to tell them, to give them a message from God for them to repent, for them to be able to be saved. But being even a man of God at that time, Jonah didn't want to do that. Jonah was angry. He wanted the people to be destroyed. So a lot of times, even though in your calling, a lot of times you got to do what you don't want to do. It ain't always you got to do what you want to go. You got to go to people you might think don't deserve to be saved, people you don't think they need to be saved, but God will call you to do things that you don't think is a possible to do, that you don't want to do. And that same thing happened to Jonah. He told him to preach to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish. We have to be obedient to God and know. And one thing about it, and deal with consequences. When we are doing what God called us to do, that's what we are doing the best for God. And another thing, just think about Abraham. Abraham, he was called what? To be the father of all nations. He was called by God. And guess what? He was obedient. He was obedient to certain things. God asked him what? To leave. He had to leave Israel. He had to leave. He had to go. He had to leave Israel. Not Israel. He had to leave his country, the challenge where he was at. But guess what? Abraham, it was easier to do because he had to say, leave your kindred, leave everybody. He had to do it. And a lot of times, God will ask you to do something. He called you. He may call you to relocate yourself. He may call you to relocate to another city, to another state. He may ask you to call you to be located at another job. He may do that. He may tell you to relocate your connection with certain people. He told Abraham, leave your family and everything. He even though he took Lot with it, but sometimes when God calls to do certain things, it's for the good. We might not understand it. Even we misunderstand, it's for the good. And Abraham, he did what God called him to do. And you think about Jeremiah, yes, he was called before he was even born. God called each and every one of us before we were even born. We have to just understand and do the calling of God. We have to know if we're driven or if we call the things that we do. And, you know, driven people, they are attributes, what they do. They are gratified only by accomplishment. They're driven. They just want to know, look what I accomplished. Look what I accomplished. I could do this. I could do that. But the called people, they come from strange places you don't even think about and carry some unique qualifications. Same thing by John the Baptist. It was strange. He in the wilderness, what? Eating honey, got dressed in camel hair. But guess what? He had some unique qualifications. He was qualified. He was called, what, to prepare the way for Jesus to come. And you think a lot of times you'll see some of the attributes in driven people. They are usually called in the uncontrolled pursuit of expansion. Some people are driven. They're always trying to expand. They're trying to make themselves be large, expanding this, expanding that. Grow. Ain't nothing wrong with increase. Only if God called you to do it. Believe me, anything God called you to do, if it's more, that's great. If you want to enlarge your territory, that's fine, as long as God is doing it. But with the driven, when you're driven doing it yourself, that what you do, they usually is called in uncontrolled expansion. If they're ever doing that. But then you got called people, they know exactly who they are. They just walking into their calling. They just walking into their calling. And then you think about another attribute about driven people. Driven people, they have the attribute of being highly competitive. They are so competitive. Everything they see done, they want to compete. And that's one of the saddest things that's going on when you see in the body of Christ. When you see Christians, you can't embrace others' gifts and talents and abilities. It got to be always competitive. So now when they have different things going on, they even say, what they call it? I can't even say how they say it now. It's just so competitive. It's so worldly that they're taking out the understanding of how to just embrace and thank God for others' abilities, for other talents. And just everything just so competitive. I got to do it better. I got to get more. But that's what driven people do. They highly competitive. But the called people, guess what? They possess a peacefulness. They just so smooth. They just walking like easy without like on rose petals. And you got the driven people, they so competitive, trying to win. They going through all kind of change. They're trying to be deceitful. They're trying to ambush. They're doing all kind of things. And then you got another thing that you have to do about driven people. They are often possessed with volcanic force and anger. They're always angry. They're so hyped up. They're always. But then again, you got to call people. They possess a kind of joy that can be not confused with the modern-day version of happiness. You got to say, how in the world they can be so calm. They can have some joy through all this chaos going on. That's when you call going through a situation. You let them people, they're driven, do what they got to do. The sabotaging, the ungodly things they saying, the lying, the deceit. But you have that peace. You have that joy that they just don't seem real to understand. But that's what happens when you just call. You call to do something, you don't have to work hard to try to do it. You just walk right into it because God already designed that for you. So you don't have to make yourself up doing all the extra stuff to make it happen. It just happens. And another attribute about driven people, they are usually abnormally busy. They always busy because they have a time they're doing 90% of the things they're supposed to be doing anyway. That's why I say usually abnormally busy. Not normally busy, but abnormally busy because they're doing a lot of things. But then you have the call people. They can learn in desert and dry places. It could just be nothing going on, but they got the calm and the peace. They'll be able to walk in the desert. It's just like Moses, the bush burning is on fire, but it ain't burning. That's just how it is with the call people. And then you see the driven people, they have to see everything as external. They have to see it. But one thing about the called people, they learn to walk in faith. They learn to walk in faith. And God just, you know, he just don't give each and every one of us in your gift, your talent, what he called you to do. Don't be afraid. God is with you. You walking inside your gift. You walking with your talent, what he called you to do. If God called you to do a thing, believe me, you're going to do it. Because he's going to give you the tools that you need to give you. He's going to call someone there. He's going to connect someone with you to sharpen, iron sharpen iron, to be able to sharpen you, to be able to bring it out of you. Because it's for the glory of God. And he's already put it in you. But what's hard is when we try to put things up to God that put inside of us. But so whatever God called you to do, and it may not flourish right then, but it's going to come to pass. God's going to make sure that Moses is going to get out of what God called him to do to lead the children out of Israel. He tried to get out of it. He had every excuse he did. He said, I can't talk. I can't do this. What? God prepared him a speaker. And that's what everybody who God called in the Bible to do something, he had people don't work with him to make sure that it comes to pass. And that same thing what God is doing with you and your calling, your vocation, it's a very important with God. Like I say, your vocation is your calling. And your service is your ministry where you're supposed to be placed using it. And you could use what God had given you in the workplace. You could use it in the church place. God is calling you. And I'm just going to go over a few tags connected to our lesson and scriptures that will encourage you to let you know, okay? We're going to talk about have faith. You know, have faith in God because faith pleases God. And have faith in God to cause you to be able to walk in your calling. Amen? Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And another one is knowing the voice of God. Knowing the voice of God. God said, my sheep know my voice, and strangely will not follow. You communicate with God in prayer and supplication. Take time every day to talk with God. Believe me, he'll talk back to you. He'll give you your answer. He will make you sure. He will give you a clear clarity in what you're supposed to be doing. Know the voice of God. That's very important to know it. John 15:16 say, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye shall go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit shall remain. And also, we know the Bible says many are called and few are chosen. And many are called and few are chosen. And you are one of those many that's called when you walk in your calling. And Leviticus 20:26 say, be consecrated to me, because I, the Lord, I am holy, and I will set you apart for all these people so that you may be mine. God will set you aside to do what he called you to do. He'll give you what you need to do. He called you for a holy calling, and because when God sets you aside, it's for a purpose, and it will come to pass. And the last one is Matthew 19:21, and it's obedience is better than a sacrifice. And we could go back to the rich young ruler when God asked him and told him to go sell all you have and give it to the poor, come follow me. He wasn't able to do that. He wasn't able to do that because he was what? He was driven by the gratification only by his accomplishment. He was highly competitive. He didn't see himself, was able to give up what he had to gain more to be with God. So he didn't want to walk with God like he thought he did. We have to just know that faith pleases God. When God calls you to do something, he said he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. We know that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can't see yourself doing it, God calls you to do it, because when it comes to pass, you're going to know that nobody did it for God. And I thank God for this opportunity to come before you today and to talk about part two, and then the final part of understanding the call of God. We talked about the salvation, the everyone called to salvation, but everyone not called to the second part. We're talking about our vocation, which is our calling, and our ministry. God have called you to the ministry, and you know that God is with you. And we just thank God that for giving us the opportunity and me to come before you. And I pray something God has given me to say that calls you to be enlightened, to have you give a better understanding of your calling, or even just to encourage you to seek God even more, to have your calling, to be able to walk in the calling God has set you for. And I'm just going to pray right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, for this time, God, of refreshment, God, this time, God, that you have set before us, God, by your Holy Spirit, imparting us, God, and let us know how important it is, God, that the calling you have gave each and every one of us, God. We thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit will bring to us the understanding, God, and give us, God, the wisdom, God, to seek you, God, and give us the boldness, God, to be able to walk in our calling, God, what you call us to do, God, that it will make a difference and upbuild the kingdom of God, Lord. And, God, right now, God, for those who have not given life to you, God, I pray for every unbeliever, God, right now, God, to be able to repent, ask God to save you. You have to give your life to the Lord. He said, whosoever will, come to me. I will know why I cast out. Ask God to forgive me of my sins, and God, save me. I believe Jesus Christ died, you're raising for the dead. And God, fill them with the Holy Spirit, God, that they will be saved, God. They'll be able to after your call you had given them, God, in the body of Christ, God. And God, for all the sick, God, for all the shut-in, God, right now, God, I speak healing, God, to their body, God. I speak, God, right now, God, across their body, God, to line up across your word, God. God, I ask you, God, to make yourself real to them, God, and let them get to know you, God, even the more, God. And God, right now, God, we just love you. We praise you. And God, right now, God, we thank you, God, for this teaching lesson time, God. And we ask you, God, to bless this ministry broadcast, the breakthrough broadcast, and Dr. McCoy and everyone that's on my voice. And I want to leave you with remember that preaching makes you feel good and teaching will help you live good. God bless you until we meet again. God bless you.